Hello everyone, welcome to Tea in the Treetops book review podcast, and we're back after quite a long hiatus, fortunately. Let me introduce us first. My name's Angela, and this is Philippa.
Hello. Philippa.
This is the official podcast of the Tea in the Treetops blog now. Originally we were both writing separate blogs, and then we've joined up with some our partners in crime around the world, and now we're writing for the Tea in the Treetops review blog. So during our hiatus, we've been up to lots of stuff. You may be able to hear in the background some babies talking. Last time we recorded was right before Philippa had her little girl, and now she's almost a year old.
Scary.
And in the meantime, I also had another baby as well. So now my little one is 3 months. So we're in the same room with the kids, so we're trying it out, and if you hear noises in the background, then you know what it is. We'll see how far we can get today. Okay, so our Tea in the Treetops blog was launched back in November, and so we've been at it for a few months now, but it's all been a little bit quiet because we're all kind of busy with different things, but we're getting there. So we've got Philippa and I, we've got Natasha, our friend in Brisbane, who used to write for Tea, Daydreams and Fairy Tales blog. And we've got Hannah, who still writes occasionally for Once Upon a Time. She's in the UK. We've got Leila from, she was originally from a book review blog as well.
Mm-hmm. And Fiction now, Pixie.
Fiction Pixie, that's right. She's in the US. And now she writes on all different types of blogs, I think, at the moment. She seems to write a few different ones. But we'll let her come talk about that one time, I think, maybe. And also our artist buddy, Jem, sometimes is come and give us some artwork to put on the blog as well. So we were hoping that having lots of people involved would make the blog a bit more busy than our individual blogs were before. And it has worked for the most part.
Yes, I think
at least, so. When we get a chance to do some writing on it. So let's get into talking some more about some books. Sorry, we're going to have random laughter. Philly, what have you been reading recently that you enjoyed?
I have been doing a lot of reading recently. This is what happens when you have sick kids, so you're up all night. I read. In any case, though, I have completely book binged on the Divergent trilogy. So I previously read the first two Divergent books right after they came out. But I never got around to reading book three, and there was all the scandal about the ending of book three.
Yes.
So because it's our mum's book club book of the month, I thought, oh, I'll go back and read it again. And I completely devoured the series, and I have to say, I really liked the ending. I really liked book three. It was very sad, but I thought it was really gritty and it was really real, and
yeah.
I don't know. I thought it was really brave and different for a lot of young adult books.
Yeah.
And I can kind of see why it wouldn't appeal to some people, because it kind of loses that whole YA hope and, you know, I don't know, but something about YA books that always have that really positive feel about them. Like, even when things are going wrong, you know, there's something positive, and I can kind of see that it would maybe bring some people down, but I don't know. It got a big thumbs up for me.
Yeah, we try not to spoil anything, but yeah, I thought it was okay the way that it ended. Like, the actual events of the ending were fine. I was okay with that. I could see it coming, and I was thinking, surely that's not going to happen, and then it did, and I was like, okay, I'm okay with that. But the thing that I didn't like so much about it was the third book was
reveal.
So different.
Okay.
And, like, it had gone along in a way, and then the second book had been completely different. And then the third book was just like, okay, everything is different. Like, forget all that other stuff. This is what's going on now. And I don't know. Just when you read a series,
it was too different from the first book.
Yeah, you think this book was great, and this book was okay, and this book's just totally different and not what I wanted.
And that seems to be what a few other people I've talked to have said too. They love the first book. They really like the second book. They liked the third book, and it sort of has gone downhill. Well, to me, I don't know. I love the first book. I quite like the second book. I love the last book.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. So I completely binged on that, read that in like 4 days, that trilogy. And then I read the final book of the Julie Kagawa series, Forever Song, which is out later this month in about a week's time. And I really like that too. I really love that series. It maybe went on a little bit too long, this last book. There were a couple of points where it dragged, but book two did that too. But it all ended really neatly, and I was really happy with the ending. The only thing that I was a bit confused about is, because it had been a year since I'd read book two, I was a little bit, I can't remember what happened, and I got a little bit confused about one of the points. I was like, really? That happened at the end of book two? I don't remember that. So, yeah, it might be worth a refresher of book two for anyone that's about to start book three.
Yep. Yeah, I'm about to start it, so I'll be reading the end of book two first.
Yes. So what have you been reading recently?
Well, I just finished last week before, because the new Game of Thrones series is starting on the telly, or so it just started yesterday. On Sunday, and so I thought I'm going to have to read book four to make sure I'm up to date with what's going on in the series.
Yep.
So I read that. It took me ages because I'm slow reading at the moment because I don't get a lot of time to do it.
Fair enough.
But it was the thing with book four, which is A Feast for Crows, is that he wrote book four and book five at the same time.
Yep.
And realised that it was much too long. So he'd have to split it into two books, which means that hardly anything happens in book four, which is a bit disappointing. By the time you get to the end, you're like, oh, okay. And it doesn't have a lot of favourite characters in it too. Like, there's no Daenerys, there's no Tyrion, there's no... basically everyone who's not in the Seven Kingdoms.
Yeah.
Everything that's over the sea and whatever, and north of the Wall as well. There's no Night's Watch stuff. So it's all King's Landing, all kind of Dawn and whatever, and it's just, I don't know. It's interesting and everything. It progresses the story, but by the end I was like, okay, I'm going to have to read book five because I really want to know what's going with the others now. But the good thing I realised after seeing the first episode of the new series is that the pacing is quite slow and they're still halfway through the third book. Yep. So I don't think I'm going to actually get up to the events of book four and five.
I think it'll be okay because he's so slow at writing these books, and
the show is so
popular. They don't want it, if it continues to be popular, for them to run out of content.
Exactly. Even though they know what's going to happen at the end, apparently he's told them okay. How it's going to end. So anyway, I will read book five sooner rather than later, just because I like to get through it all, and it is sort of 900 and something pages. So. We'll see when that
happens. It's never bad to be ahead of everybody else. It's just watching the TV.
Yeah. Except I think my husband hates it because I go, oh, yeah, that happened. Oh, yeah, I remember that. Oh, I know what's going to happen to that person. You know, he's like, shut up. Anyway. So I read that. So then I thought, I'm way behind. You know, that took me such a long time. I need something short. So we were sent a bunch of four novellas. The first one's called Rowena's Key, and the others are called... No, I didn't write them down, I can't remember, but there are four of them, and they're only about 100 pages each. They're by A.J. Nuest, and they're fantasy romance. So I thought, oh, this sounds nice, so I'll just have a bit of light, whatever. And the fantasy story of it is really good. It's like a girl who lives in our world who's an antique dealer, and she gets, like, sucked through this magic mirror to the past and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But what I didn't realise that it's an erotic romance, so I'm just reading along and all of a sudden it's like she noticed the bulge in his pants or something. I was like, what? So anyway, it is quite sexy, but it's
fantasy 50 Shades of Grey.
Yeah, I guess so, but not in a like a chain me up to the wall type way, just in a raunchy kind of way. But anyway, so I'm enjoying them. I'm halfway through those four books, and they're pretty good if you're after a bit of that sort of thing. So once I finish with those, I've got the Forever Song on my list.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be coming out. And the other thing I picked up recently, last week, that I'm really excited to read is a Doctor Who book. Is Touched by an Angel, which is a collection of stories about the 11th Doctor and monsters, basically. So it'll be weeping angels and those kind of nasties. That's the other thing I've done since the last time. Got into Doctor Who and become a bit of an obsessive Doctor Who fan. So anyway.
I really need to get into Doctor Who. My dad lent me the entire David Tennant Doctor Who series.
Yeah.
And I keep meaning, and I got that shortly after having Caitlin.
All right.
So yeah. I've had his DVDs now for about 2.5 years.
Yes.
But I still haven't watched them. I really should.
Well, while I think that Dave Tennant is best, I do recommend watching the series one with Christopher Eccleston. Even though it's not, personally, a lot of people disagree with this, but I don't think that series was very good.
Quickly. Is that right? Is he the one that was only in there for a very short?
Yeah, it was once. Season one of the new...
Of the new ones, new and then they got rid of him and they brought in David Tennant?
That's right,
yes.
Well, he left. They didn't get rid
yes,
of him.
Yes, it happened decided a bit, to leave. A bit yeah. more...
Yes. Yes. But the thing with series one is that it contains a lot of the lore of Doctor Who itself, okay. So that you understand what's happened previously. Because it's like, 40-odd years of previous stuff to go through. And you don't want to have to watch all that...
No,
I would like to watch some of that, but I don't want to watch all of it.
I've got some of the very original.
Yeah,
dad and I watched it. I don't think I can watch that.
I watched it as a child, like, and my mum and dad are big Whovians. They're like, they loved it for a long time, but I never got into it for some reason. I don't know why, because I love it now. But so anyway, that's one thing. so I've got a Doctor Who book, which I'm excited to read.
Mm-hmm.
So there's plenty of other things on the list, of course. But that's my immediate reads. What have you got coming up?
I have been, I think, I'm really lucky and excited that I got a copy of Immortal Crown, which is book two of Game Board and the God. Sorry. It's book two of the Age of X trilogy. It's one of the only series that isn't actually given the name of the first book, is the name of the trilogy. So it's also part of the Game Board of the God series by Rochelle Mead. I really liked the first book. A lot of people didn't particularly like it, but I think from my experience with Rochelle Mead books is book one generally is a bit slow.
Yep.
But then they just are like, oh my God, this is so good when you get into them. So I'm only like a third of the way through Immortal Crown and I'm liking it, but I'm waiting for some big reveals. I just know that they're going to happen. So I've been very excited. I only got approved for that the other day and I started reading it straight away. It was one of those books.
Yeah.
So that's one that has been very exciting. And there was something else that I was going to say. That's right. So last night I was lucky enough to go with Natasha, who's also from the blog, to in Brisbane. They had a Penguin Teen Australia live event, which was run by Felicity from Penguin Teen Australia, who is just great and really energetic, and basically they showcase some of their upcoming books as well as listing, you know, some of her favorite books and things like that. And there were a couple of new books that she mentioned that looked really fantastic, so I'm really looking forward to getting my hands on them. So there's one by an Australian author who I can't remember the name of, called Masquerade. Now, there was no cover yet, and maybe that's a good thing because it already sounded really exciting. It's set, obviously, in Venice, and it's apparently like, I think she said it's like a Downton Abbey-esque type masquerade thing where so it's Downton Abbey-esque in the fact that you get to have characters that are from servants all the way to the complete upper echelons. But yes, it sounded really, really good. And then the other book that I thought sounded fantastic is called Afterworlds by Scott Westerfeld, who is really well known for the Ugly series, of which I haven't read, but I have heard is fantastic, and it's now on my to-read pile. It's not out till September, so we've got a while to wait for that one. But basically, it's not a parallel lives book, but it's kind of parallel in the fact that there's two main characters, the first being this author who's, you know, she's a fledgling like writer, and then she makes a break and gets to publish her novel. It's all about her life and writing her novel. But then the alternate chapters are the main character in her novel's book.
Oh, right.
So you get to sort of hear the story of her novel as well as the story of her life. So I don't know. I thought that sounded really, that sounded really intriguing. So I'm really looking forward to that one. But yes, unfortunately not out till September.
Right.
So yes, but yeah, Penguin Teen Australia was great. It was lots of fun. It was really big last year. It was much smaller and more intimate, like a bookstore. This year it was in the Brisbane State Library. And there were heaps of people there. But yeah, lots of fun. I put up some pictures on Twitter. I don't use Twitter very often, but I did put some pictures up, and we were lucky. We scored a book called Popular by Maya Van Wagenen. I don't know if that's how you pronounce it, but yeah, 16-year-old girl who basically has been really lucky and got movie rights and book rights after she, for a year, followed a 1950s etiquette guide and went from being an unpopular person to being a popular person following this guy. So, interesting.
Yeah. Concept.
Hmm.
So the other thing that you've done recently is the Vampire Academy movie.
Yes. So I have to admit, I'm not into the whole social media community of Vampire Academy, which is called the VA family. However, I know Jem and I worked together for nearly a decade. And Jem is very into the Vampire Academy family, and so she was one of the organisers of this event, where originally we were going to go see a double feature of the Vampire Academy movie and Divergent, and they were just going to be like a week after the Vampire Academy originally came out. But unfortunately, the Divergent movie release date got pushed back.
Yeah, I don't know why it's so late. It's
like, I reckon they wanted to see how Vampire Academy went.
Yeah, maybe. Because they didn't want to have the Maze years at the same time.
The Maze Runner, which is the other YA one, was meant to come out the same week as Vampire Academy, and they pushed that back 6 months.
Oh, really?
So I think they wanted to see how it went, maybe change some things if necessary.
Yeah.
But just have it all separated, and it's probably good because...
Well, did they change the release in America as well?
Yes.
Oh, right.
Okay. So basically... I went to this event. It was great fun. Jem was there, obviously. I was really lucky. I won a lucky door prize of some awesome artwork by Jem.
Yeah.
And while I didn't know anybody as part of this vampire family, VA family, I'm sure they had a really great time all meeting up. But I went and saw the movie, and I used it as an excuse to go to Melbourne. Unfortunately, the movie, I'm not going to lie, really sucked. I'm sorry. It was really bad. I was quite embarrassed while watching this movie.
It says that on the posters, though. The posters say.
They suck at school. They suck at school. They also suck at translating a book to movie.
Yeah.
It was an embarrassment for YA book to film adaptations. I'm actually really worried about any future book to film adaptations being made because there's been some really big flops.
I thought they really missed their market with it because they aimed it at sort of a teenage school type crowd, which doesn't always do well in Australia anyway, I don't think, because our schools aren't really like that. Well, I haven't been to school for a very long time, but you know.
They were trying to make a Mean Girls style movie.
Yeah, yeah. And a lot of people who read the original Vampire Academy series are now 30 years old and wouldn't necessarily be into that, so I don't know if they've.
I think that they were trying to. They didn't want it. My guess is they wanted to separate themselves from Twilight and being any sort of a Twilight ripoff, which is another teen vampire series. So they were trying to really push the teen school drama aspect of it.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I just don't think it worked. I think that the girl that played Zoe was quite good.
Rose.
I promise. I think she did a good job considering what she had to work with.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, out of the entire movie, the only part that made me feel that it was really authentic to the whole spirit was the very final scene where she goes in to kiss Dimitri and then she kicks him and...
Yeah.
That was true. That was really true, I thought, to the feel of Vampire Academy anyway.
There were parts of the actual movie that I thought were okay, but other parts I just cringed and
I just don't this see how you could set. Understand it if you hadn't read the book, because it just was it going was fast, so yeah, fast. Yeah.
It was information dump at the start, wasn't it?
And when she was looking into Lissa's
like what Lisa was doing. It was creepy.
They didn't actually explain that at all.
But it was really creepy. Yeah, I was like, this is stalkerish.
Well, it is a bit like that in the book anyway, but...
But not that bad. I don't know, you don't get that feel for it. I don't know, some things just don't translate well.
No, I know, you're right.
That's my thoughts anyway. So
anyway.
Let's hope the Divergent movie is not so bad.
Do you know if they've decided to make the second one?
Of Divergent or of Vampire Academy?
Of Vampire Academy.
I think they were originally planning on it, and I think it was like City of Bones. They had already pre-planned it, and I think they've changed their mind, because I'm positive I saw a petition about please make number
please
two.
Please make it. Yes.
So we will see. But Divergent, while it's still not getting great reviews, it's getting better reviews from what I can tell.
Yep, and we're on the cards to go and see that this weekend. No, next weekend.
Yes.
I may or may not come, but hopefully it'll be on when I can take my little one
to the movies.
Yes, Maddie, that's
right. Sorry, my lovely daughter Madeline's getting into book reviewing and book
she's telling us all about what she thought of Divergent.
Yes.
What did you think, Maddie? Nope, she's stopped now. All right, what else did we have on the list? Well, I just wanted to mention that I found out this week that one of my favourite authors from way back, Tad Williams, who I did actually meet at a supernova last year, he's really a really lovely guy, he's wrote the... Now, let me think about this. The first book's Dragonbone Chair. It's Memory, Sorrow and Thorn. That's the name of the series.
I've read that series.
It's great. It's one of the first, like, epic fantasy series that I read, apart from, like, you know, Tolkien and whatever. And he's now going back to that world from Dragonbone Chair and writing a new trilogy. So it's going to be called Last King of Ostenard, and it's coming out later in the year. Actually, I'm not sure about that, but... it's coming out soon. He's talking about it a lot, so hopefully it's all happening soon. So that's really exciting, because it's one of the first series that I ever read that was really a gritty fantasy. Like,
yep.
A lot of the other stuff I'd read before that, this is in high school,
yeah,
was like Anne McCaffrey kind of, you know, lighter type, kind of fantasy stuff. Whereas Tad Williams likes to kill people. He likes to have really nasty things happen to her. And apparently it was him doing that encouraged George R. R. Martin to actually go ahead and write Song of Ice and Fire, because he thought, oh, my kind of writing isn't going to be accepted.
Yes.
But then that encouraged him to do it, and the rest is history. So that's good. They'll be going back to that again. The other one is coming soon is a new Robin Hobb book, which I'm excited about, because it's going back to Fitz and the Fool. So from what I can gather, in the last story that Fitz was in, it had like a happy ending, which is a bit odd.
That's very odd.
For Robin Hobb, she doesn't normally like to do that sort of thing.
That first series of his is just so sad. Nothing good ever happens
to
that poor
exactly,
person.
Yeah.
Sorry,
it was
poor
sad
Fitz.
At the end. Excuse me, but the... but now there's this new trilogy sort of starting from that happy ending, and obviously something nasty is going to happen to everyone again. But Robin Hobb is the other one of my favourite authors from when I was at high school. So
yep.
I actually have a couple of those Dragon books to catch up on still. So I have them at home, I just haven't read them. So, but that's not coming out until August or September, I think. So
you've got a little bit of time.
Yep. So, did you have anything else, any other books you wanted to mention?
Yes, okay, there's a couple more books I wanted to mention. I was going to write full reviews of these, but unfortunately, I just don't have anything particularly great to say about either of them. So, I'm going to just summarise them really quickly. So, these are both review books, and I wanted to like both of them. The first one being Cruel Beauty, which came out at the beginning of this year in January. It's a Beauty and the Beast fairy tale retelling.
Oh, yeah.
And along with that, it's also mixing in Greek mythology. Now, I love Greek mythology. I love fairy tales. I really wanted to like this book. I really didn't like this book. The main character, Nyx, was just a selfish bitch. That's probably the nicest thing. She was just really vindictive, and, you know, I get that she had a tough life and all, but she needed to just grow a backbone or something, or get over herself. I don't know. She was just very unlikable
very unrelatable, and I'm normally okay with not liking main characters, but I just found it made the whole tone of this book very cold. And unfortunately, mixing in the Greek mythology to the fairy tale just got really awkward. It didn't work. So unfortunately, that's a 2 stars for me. I mean, there are people that like it. So if fairy tales are your thing, and you think you are okay with a slightly difficult heroine, by all means, give it a go. But yeah, unfortunately, I'm putting that in another fairy tale retelling that I have done that I've disliked. And unfortunately, that means most of the fairy tale retellings I have read, I have disliked.
Aww.
So I don't know. I keep getting burnt by them. The Except other one... Cinder. Cinder was fantastic. Exactly. That's why I keep giving them goes, because I loved Cinder and that series so much.
Yeah.
The other one, which was After Eden. Now, After Eden, I didn't dislike to the same level. It again, though, had great concept. It's, you know, still a young adult, high school type book.
Yeah.
And it was a really easy read. And the difference between these two was this one was a fast read and you could just devour it without thinking about it. But it just didn't have much substance. So it incorporates time travel and the future. Yeah. I love time travel. It's another one of those sorts of, it's about time travel. I've got to pick this book up and see what it's all about.
Yeah.
So yeah, space, time travel, going back and changing the past, all those sorts of good concepts, just in a high school type setting. Unfortunately, there was a bit too much insta-love.
Oh no.
A little bit young. It's very young in the young adult. Right, category. Okay. So, but I give it 3 stars. It was a fast read if you're wanting something that was just a bit easy, fun. Yeah. You like time travel?
I actually have that one, but I didn't read it.
If you like time travel, it's fast. But yeah, don't pick it up if you're looking for something with a bit of substance, because it's just not very filled with substance.
Fair enough.
Yes. Probably the only other thing I was going to mention, and I should have mentioned this, it's probably more of a discussion type thing that I really took from the Penguin Teen Australia thing. So when we went to the Penguin Teen Australia launch last year, like the PTA Live for Brisbane last year, it was very much young adult, a little bit of middle grade, you know, but more in the young adult sphere. What I've really noticed has happened in the last year is there's all these new adult books and they're getting still plugged into the Penguin Teen Live. Yeah. And, you know, this would be the same for all the different publisher brands. New adult seems to be this really new thing. And I don't know, I just can't get onto this new adult bandwagon. I really feel like it's just a marketing ploy, because the young adult branding has been so successful and they get so much cash in that they're just trying to plug. To me, it's like just romance with some paranormal maybe bent sometimes.
Yeah, I never really understood what new with a bit adult of
sex.
Was.
Yeah, or something a little bit more illicit. Yeah, something a little bit more illicit, something a little bit looser.
Put that in the YA stuff, I mean.
But a lot of these seem more on the romance-y scale of books. Like, I don't know. Okay. I don't know, but I just really don't like it. When you look at all the covers, even when I went, like, in the slideshow presentation, they've all got that cheesy, you know, romance cover, but not the old school romance covers, those sorts of new slutty style, I don't know, photograph ones. I really can't get under this new adult bandwagon, but it seems to be a thing, because there was nothing new adult last year, and this year, at least half of them were being pegged as new adult.
Right, okay.
So, yes.
I think that was everything I had listed on my list, things to talk about this time. So, did you have anything else you wanted to mention?
No, I think I have rambled enough for the day.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for listening, and we'll catch you next time.
See you later.
Bye. Everybody, it's Angela here again. I hope you enjoyed our comeback episode of our podcast, and complete with the chattering away of Miss Madeline in the background. At the end, we didn't quite get a chance to tell you that how you can get in touch with us. If you'd like to send us any feedback or suggestions, or you could either even record something and send it to us for us to play it in the next show, we'd love that. That would be brilliant. You can email us at contact@teainthetreetops.com. Or you can get in touch with us via our Twitter account @teatreetops.
And of course, you can also see all our book reviews and other bookie topics at the Tea in the Treetops blog, teainthetreetops, all one word, .com. Thank you again for listening to the podcast. See you later.